Welcome to the Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast, brought to you by FTR, where we share timely transportation intelligence with you on a weekly basis. The Rail Market Update is hosted by FTR's Vice President of Rail and Intermodal, Todd Tranowski. As Todd presents the information in the podcast, you can follow along and review the graphs and indicators by downloading a PDF or PowerPoint version of the presentation from our podcast landing page. A link to the PDF is available now at www.ftrintel.com/podcast. From there, you can also find past episodes and downloads of the Rail Market Update, as well as the weekly Trucking Market Update with Avery Weiss and much more. That link again is www.ftrintel.com/podcast.
Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the FTR State of Freight Rail Market Update podcast. As always, I am your host, Todd Tranowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you for joining us this week. We appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to be with us this week. We know that you've always got a lot going on, particularly as the travel season ramps back up again these next couple of weeks. Hopefully, we'll see everybody out and about at the various industry events. We do always appreciate seeing the folks who are listeners of the podcast. Feel free to reach out, shake our hand, talk to us about what you're seeing in the marketplace. Love to do that. Love to be out there seeing folks who listen each and every week. It's always a great honor to meet you all. And with that, let's jump right in and talk about where things are this week. Obviously, there was a lot of news last week. There's a lot of news this week as well with the another Senate hearing that Norfolk Southern's a part of as part of the fallout from the derailment in Ohio last month. You continue to have congressional hearings into the cause, into what could be done as a result of it. There's a rail safety bill on the Hill that's being discussed pretty thoroughly in these hearings. Norfolk Southern's chief executive, Alan Shaw, came out this week and said he's in favor of parts of it. We'll have to see exactly what moves through, exactly what moves forward. Those bills are certainly going to have legs in the wake of the derailment. You would think there's going to be a lot of light and heat and discussion around them. But Railway Age came out this week. Many of you are familiar with Railway Age, the august industry publication that it is. And they came out and basically said the industry doesn't need Washington in its business, that the industry can essentially self-regulate. The bills that are out there at the moment, one particular bill that's out there at the moment, simply just does what the industry already is doing. And so it's duplicative in a lot of ways. So I would encourage you to go out to Railway Age and read further about that if you have questions. Now, as we look at the numbers for this week, intermodal volumes, well, they're already weak and they've gotten weaker. So that is not a great story. And on the carload side, we really simply treaded water in the latest week. We just sort of stayed where we are. There were some puts and takes among the commodity groups, but by and large, it really is just as steady as she goes at a low level sort of week when you look at the numbers. Intermodal volumes, well, you can see it's an ugly picture. We went down again for the second consecutive week. We were already low, and we got lower. We're down almost 15% on a year-over-year basis, more than that on a five-year average basis. It just continues to get worse. And if you look at other metrics like active truck utilization, like overall import levels, it really doesn't give you the warm and fuzzies that this is going to turn around anytime soon. It doesn't give you a sense that we're primed to make a movement up, that we're primed to bounce back even to historical average levels in intermodal. It seems as though we're going to be here for a while. We're going to be on this struggle bus for a little bit of time as we go through here. When you think about active truck utilization, there really isn't a meaningful turnaround there until you get out to 2025. That does not bode well for intermodal. That does not bode well for the competitiveness of intermodal. It also does not help intermodal when we start to see some labor pains. We start to see some saber rattling out on the West Coast, particularly around lunch breaks at Los Angeles and Long Beach, and what that's done to the ability of those ports to unload cargo in a timely fashion, and what that's done to truck queues, and what that's done to overall cargo fluidity. That's not a positive sign for intermodal. That creates an issue. That creates a flashpoint where it's going to be very hard for intermodal to post positive volume results, to post even historical average volume results while those things are going on. Yes, it's true. We're essentially at the bottom of the Lunar New Year lull. That suggests that there should be some improvement from here. But exactly how much, if any, happens with all of those other factors in play remains to be seen. And I would submit that it's potentially highly likely that it doesn't bounce back as much as a lot of people might think it would or it should in this environment. Drilling down a little bit deeper, talking about the trailer sector, well, it's basically flat sequentially, down a little bit, but it's down a little bit sequentially, which is down 30% year over year, down even more than that relative to the five-year average, and it's below 15,000 trailers a week. We'll have to watch this to see if it stabilizes down at these levels, just below 15,000 trailers a week, or if it continues to move further down as we go through time. There's certainly, on a seasonal basis, that potential as we go through the second quarter, but we would hope that since we're already at a low level, we would continue to tread water, continue to bounce around this 15,000 or so a trailer a week level. Time will tell exactly where that shakes out. On the container side, much the same story as what we've seen in overall carload. It is weak. It is down significantly on a year-over-year basis. It is down significantly on a five-year average basis. And again, there really isn't any sort of sign that this is going to turn around in the near future. This is going to continue to face weakness, continue to face struggles as we go forward. On the carload side of the house, as we shift gears a little bit, the carload side of the house is really just treading water. If you look at that blue line on a sequential basis, it went down. It went down a very little bit on a sequential basis. It was really pretty flat, and we're essentially flat with last year. Now, flat is an okay result if last year was a decent number, but if you've listened to this podcast on a regular basis, you know that 2022 was no reason for celebration in the carload markets. It was a struggle of a year. So, yes, we're not getting any worse from that low level, but we're also not improving from that low level either. We're well off the five-year average. We are essentially treading water, as I said at the open, just keeping ourselves going right about flat, right about steady, without a whole lot of other discussion, without a whole lot of other catalyst in the marketplace to move that number one way or the other. Economically sensitive freight also eased back a little bit in the last week. This is the second consecutive week it's eased back. We're up ever so slightly on a year-over-year basis. We're outperforming carload, but not by a whole lot. And we are also well below our five-year average. Now, just in case we have new people out there, when I talk about economically sensitive freight, a lot of times you hear that referred to as core carload freight. When we're talking about economically sensitive freight, what that means is we pull out the agriculture, we pull out the coal, and we pull out the petroleum. We look at just those sectors that are more closely tied to the underlying economy. Those things like chemicals, those things like metals, those things like lumber and wood, pulp and paper. Those sorts of sectors are what's reflected in economically sensitive freight. And those are also the same categories of freight that are going to be the ones that drive volume growth as we go forward, that drive the ability of the carload market to show volume gains. Now, you cannot just ignore the bulk markets. The bulk markets are a big part of the carload business. Grain and coal each are very important parts of where things go, very big, important parts of the carload business. Coal, in fact, is the largest single carload sector by volume. It bounced back a little bit sequentially. It did not get back to its peak of 2 weeks ago. It's essentially trading right around 75,000 or so carloads a week, above last year, essentially at the five-year average. But we don't expect this to continue through the year. We expect coal to weaken. We expect Cole to struggle as we go into the second quarter, get into the shoulder season, particularly given where natural gas prices are, what export coal prices have done recently over the last several months. We don't see coal being able to sustain 75,000 carloads a week for any length of time over the balance of the year. The grain markets, the other major bulk commodity that moves by rail, it's not a great story through the first quarter, honestly. It took a sizable sequential decline in the last week. And if you look at that trend line from week two on, it's been a pretty decided down and to the right trend. We are below last year by almost 10%. We're more than that below the five-year average. And we'll have to see just how far this falls. We would think, we would expect that we would see some stabilization, maybe see a little bit of a bounce from these levels. But given the trend line, given how consistent the trend line has been since week two, I'm not sure we get that at the present time. And this would be a disappointment for carload if grain does not at least show stability given the overall global fundamentals that are out there. So let's shift gears. Let's focus back on those economically sensitive freight categories that I focused on to start the carload discussion. And the chemical sector, I was starting to get relieved about the chemical sector about a month ago. You know, if you listen all the time, I was talking about how heartened I was at the progress we were making in the chemical sector and what that might mean on a read-through basis for the overall economy and for the carload markets. Well, the last 2 weeks have dimmed my enthusiasm and dimmed my enthusiasm quite a bit. We've taken a significant downward decline over the last several weeks, very similar to what happened last year in the chemicals markets, except for the fact that we're below last year when it happened. And we continue to be below last year through the cycle. And we're below the five-year average at this point. And this is a problem. This is something we're going to have to watch because, as I've said before, there are a lot of base chemicals in here that go into a lot of manufactured processes, industrial processes across the economy. And if we're going to see renewed weakness here, that raises doubts about overall economic activity, overall economic demand, and what that flows all the way through. That flows through to payrolls, that flows through to output, that flows through to inventories. We're going to have to watch that very closely in the weeks and months and quarters ahead. Petroleum products has also declined. Over the last 2 weeks, it's declined fairly steeply, actually. We're below last year. We're well off the five-year average. We're down right around 19,000, give or take, carloads a week in petroleum products, which is at the low end of the post-pandemic period. Again, if you listen all the time, we've talked before about how since October of 2020, petroleum products have really sort of bounced predominantly between 19 and 21,000 carloads a week. We're at the bottom end of that range right now, and what will be instructive in the weeks ahead is do we break through that level of support at 19,000 carloads a week, or are we able to hold that level, or are we able to bounce from there? Are we able to get back to closer to 20,000 than 19,000? That's what we'll be watching for here. A very technical analysis, if you will. Those of you that are into the stock market, that look at candlestick charts, that look at technical analysis, we'll have to see what happens here on a technical basis. Are we able to keep that technical support level at 19,000 or are we not? We'll just have to see as we go forward. The surprising one of any of the commodities we're going to talk about today, stone, sand, and gravel. This has been, as you've heard me talk about for weeks, months, quarters now, a bright spot in carload. Over the last 2 weeks, that bright spot has dimmed. Particularly in the last week, we saw a significant sequential downshift. We're now below last year for the first time in a long time. We're below the five-year average for the first time in a long time. This is something we're going to have to watch. You would normally expect to see some growth here. You would expect to see some momentum as we get into better weather, as the construction season starts to ramp up across the northern tier. You would expect to see additional demand. The fact that we're turning down right now does not give the warm and fuzzies about overall economic health. It does not provide a warm and fuzzy feeling when you think about the construction trades, the construction economy, and what that means going forward. However, having said all that, if you look at lumber and wood, it has made a significant sequential improvement. And this is not one that you would have bet. This is not one you would have put money on, particularly when you look at what's going on in the broader economy, with the banking sector, with credit conditions, with mortgages, if those sorts of things. You would not have expected to see this sort of a jump in lumber and wood. But alas, here it is at its peak level of 2023. Now, it's still below last year. It's still below the five-year average. It's still not a great number. But certainly, if you were going to pick a commodity group to pop, you would not have picked this one, I dare say. But yet, there it is. We'll have to see if it is sustainable or if it's just a flash in the pan. But we'll, as we get through the second quarter, as we get into better construction weather again, will it hold up or will we see a step backwards? That will be the question for lumber and wood. Pulp and paper took a sequential step down in the latest week, basically back to where it was 2 and 3 weeks ago, to those levels, which are better than it has been over the last two quarters, by and large. It's above last year, but it's still below the five-year average, so it's still not historically normal. We see a little bit of a step down, but it's a healthier level than at least we've seen in the recent past, which provides some hope for pulp and paper that maybe things are going to stabilize. Maybe we are through the worst in this sector. Time will tell, but hope springs eternal, certainly. On the automotive sector, essentially flat on a sequential basis, up a little bit, ever so slightly. We're above last year. We've been above last year for almost all, in fact, all of 2023, not almost, all of the year. But we are below the five-year average, and we never really saw things kick into high gear in the late first quarter the way you seasonally expect in this commodity group. We haven't really seen that strong upshift in demand. Now, hopefully that means as we get into the second quarter, we won't see things pull back as dramatically as we typically do seasonally. But again, time will tell. If we can steady as she goes, right around 25,000 carloads a week, that would be a good sign for this sector. That would be a good sign for the overall economy. But time will tell. Certainly there are a lot of risks, a lot of uncertainties around overall intermodal demand as we think about it going forward. And so to wrap up, intermodal volume weakness remains significant. Yes, we're sort of at the bottom of the Lunar New Year lull, but still, to be at 300,000 carloads a week, give or take, in intermodal, that's, you know, that barring the Thanksgiving, New Year, and Christmas, New Year's holidays, it's been a long time since volumes in intermodal have been that weak in a regular week. So, yes, it's the Lunar New Year holiday. It's still a significantly weak number, and you can't discount that given everything else we've seen in lower import levels, labor strife on the West Coast. You have to take some of that into account when you think about that number. And the overall, the carload space, there were some puts and takes, but overall volumes fairly well treaded water in the latest week. You had grain decline pretty significantly. Coal bounced back. Lumber and wood bounced back, but chemicals did not. And certain stone, sand, and gravel, which had been a carload winner, showed some weakness. So we'll have to see where that all shakes out as we go through the balance of the year. Overall, it's really just holding steady, a status quo report, if you will. And with that, we're going to wrap up for this week. I thank you all for joining me this week. Feel free to reach out to myself or any member of the FTR team if you ever have any questions about what you hear in the podcast, what you see in the reports, what you're seeing in your business. We're going to be on the road a little bit the next couple of weeks. We'd love to talk to you about your business. Feel free to reach out anytime. We love talking about these things. We literally get up in the morning to talk about transportation issues. So never hesitate to reach out. And with that, we hope you have a great week. We'll talk to you again next week. Thank you for listening, as always. I am your host, Todd Trinowski, the Vice President of Rail and Intermodal here at FTR. Thank you, and have a great week.
That's it for this week's Rail Market Update on the State of Freight podcast. The Rail Market Update will be published each week along with a downloadable PDF of the presentation. If you find this transportation intelligence useful, please take a moment to give us a positive rating on your podcast platform of choice and send us your feedback by email at podcast@ftrintel.com. You can find more publicly available State of Freight content and download the PDF of today's presentation by going to www.ftrintel.com/podcast. FTR is the leader in freight transportation forecasting in North America, providing consistently reliable reports for trucking, rail, and intermodal transportation, as well as providing demand analysis for commercial vehicle and rail car. For more information about the work of FTR, visit www.ftrintel.com or call us at 888-988-1699 to find out which publications will best support your business.